Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Today I am joined by a very special guest, David Robinson, who is the Director of Analytic Services with Coachella Valley Economic Partnership. Welcome, David.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the reason why you're really here, I just wanted our listeners to know that you were a very important part of the district developing its environmental health summit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a real fun effort.
You were one of the community partners that we had involved very, very early on in the planning stages of that on the 2024 summit and 2025 summit. So thank you for being a part of that.
Yeah, that was great. At CVEP, I'm really the data guy. And so I just the nerd sitting behind the computer crunching numbers, although I really like getting out there. So it was so fun to meet all these incredible people who work in this valley. I was just blown away by, number one, what got accomplished
right.
So fast. I was like, wow. And just all these people that would just volunteer all their time and this expertise. It was great. I worry that one of the interesting things about doing economic development in this valley is that there's 9 cities and there's lots of silos and we don't know who's doing what. And so it was just so fun to just be in that room with all the people that are doing amazing things. So somehow
exactly.
We need to do that more often somehow. I don't know.
Absolutely. And that was the reason for us doing it, is we felt like environmental health especially needed a collaborative effort. Such a big issue for us.
Yeah.
But today we are here to talk about a report that you've worked on. It's the regional economic impacts of a study that we commissioned, the Healthcare District commissioned in 2023, which was the Community and Clinical Social Needs study by Huron Consulting Group. So tell me a little bit about your work with that. I know there was a team involved in that.
Yeah. So what happened was probably when we were able to finally get together after COVID, so I'm guessing this was early 2022, maybe. Some of the leaders, previous leaders, so probably about 4 or 5 people came to our office at CVEP and said, we're really curious about looking into the economic effects, just in general, of a healthier population. And that included a lot of emphasis on access to healthcare. And so we had a lot of discussions about that. We were very curious about doing it. And it wasn't a big rush. It was like, think about it. And I'd say about 6 months later, late 2022, we put together a proposal. And it was very broad. And we got some really good feedback, especially from your board, saying this is too broad. We need to get this focused somehow. And also the economists that we work with at Claremont McKenna College in Claremont were also saying, this is too broad. We need to really make this something much more clear. And through a process of doing it, getting it reviewed, we finally came down to a really good idea. And that really came from Donna here at your staff here. She was great. She said, we had this report that was just completed, the Huron report, that actually gives recommendations for the kind of medical professionals we need to bring into the valley to provide needs that are very specific to this valley. And that was just an aha moment. Oh, okay. That gives us an actual number and a type of healthcare professional that we're interested in. That's something that our economic team can dig their teeth into and
right.
really come up with real numbers for. So when we had a conversation with the team over at CMC, they were like, great, we can run with this. We can do it. So that's really how it got started. And then we redid the proposal and had a lot of other different run-throughs with your board again. And we really came down to exactly what we were doing. That's what we produced.
So what was your role in this project? Because I know there were other people involved as well.
Yeah. So I'm not an economist. I'm actually, my expertise is in computer mapping and demographic analysis through mapping. And so I'm just a lead
okay.
through CVEP. So you hired CVEP for us to create a team. And we have, over the years, worked with CMC. There's a professor there named Montford Kyle, who, if you've come to our summits, he's this very fun, grumpy old German guy who gives really good presentations. And he's written our economic reports for many years. And I should say, take that back. He provides us with the data, and then our team puts it together as a really nice report afterwards. And so I do a lot, and I actually do a lot of the data analysis, because this is a little nerdy and on the side, but most economic data comes at the county level or even higher. It often comes at the metropolitan statistical area, which is usually a major city like Los Angeles, Long Beach, Ontario, or Orange County is a metropolitan statistical area. We were in a huge county, Riverside. It's ginormous. It's way bigger than a lot of the states in the East.
And the Coachella Valley is such a unique part of that
county. Totally. Yeah. And for us to have really interesting data that isn't just about the county. We know that Blythe is way different than Riverside, the city, and we're way different than everybody else. As a computer mapper, a geographic information systems analyst, I am able to use geography to aggregate that data down to something that's really meaningful for the Coachella Valley. So in partnership with CMC, they can use the kind of data that I pull together. They can use that data to do this analysis of back and forth.
Okay.
But mostly, we don't actually have the staff at CVEP to do a traditional economic impact report. We have to hire someone to do that. And so actually, Manfred, who's the professor who works with us most closely, recommended that we work with Darren Filson, who's also a professor there, who does a lot of these and has actually done, he did a report for Eisenhower about 9 years ago. So he's done a lot of reports with lots of different industries and stuff. So he knows how to really dig into a specific industry very well. And he has the background to work with Eisenhower too.
And so. Yeah, somewhat familiar with the Valley. Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to be too simple, but basically what I read is that this report makes the case, a business case for healthcare expansion, highlighting the benefits of that in the Coachella Valley. Professions, basically, physicians and other medical support and staff.
And so why that was important was the thing that really popped out for me, because CVEP is an economic development agency. So we're very interested in growing the economy and growing an economy that's very diverse. And so one of the words that was in that report that was so interesting to me was make a business case for this. And we're like, well, that makes a lot of sense, right? Let's do that. If it was even in the proposal. So the idea was, because it's so difficult to attract healthcare professionals anywhere, it's not just us. We don't have enough doctors. We don't have enough nurses. It's the same thing. So we're competing with the whole United States. We're competing with the coast. And then we have our own specific challenges here, right? We've got summer heat. We've got relatively high housing costs. And so we just have to be clever and work as a region and a community to say that we're all in this together. And so that was part of the problem, or part of the proposal was, this needs to be a problem for the whole community, not just the Desert Healthcare District, not just hospitals. We have to think way beyond the kind of traditional ways of bringing people in to work in the healthcare industry here.
Yes. And I was fascinated by the idea of bringing in the business community, because up until this point, we hear a lot about the shortage of medical professionals, physicians, and others. And it's a bit anecdotal. If you're looking for a doctor, then you're certainly aware of it yourself.
Yeah.
But we really didn't have a lot of numbers before the Huron report. And I appreciate what this report does in looking at how we can change that. Why was it important to focus on economics and moving the needle in terms of bringing in healthcare professionals? I think you've addressed that a little bit, but if you could expand upon that.
Yeah, I think the simplest way to say that is, it's always nice to have some kind of metric, right? Some kind of number. What does this mean? If a community, and one of the things that I think is so great that the Desert Healthcare District is going to have opportunities to do in the future is maybe help produce some of these places, or help build them or locate them. And we know where the need is. And there's even a very clear non-compete clause in the tenant. You can't put a place here. So it's very clear where we can put these things. And they are places of great need. So I think one of the things is, you know, if you go to Desert Hot Springs and say, hey, if we help you bring in a professional 50-person professional office that's going to serve your community. Not only is it going to serve your community, but it's going to bring in this much tax revenue. And these people are going to spend this much money on at restaurants, and they're going to buy houses, and they're going to pay taxes on their houses. And it's that whole trickle-down effect. And so it really does make a big difference where these things are located economically. Now, of course, I live in Palm Springs. Sometimes I go to Cathedral City to eat or something, but even a lot of money gets spent in the actual town you live in, right?
Yes.
So just that alone can make businesses go, that's interesting. And so just to have those numbers of saying, this is literally the impact if we bring in 8 doctors and make a clinic. And what people don't realize is it's logical if you think about it. You bring in 5 doctors in the whole support staff that brings in, there's another 10 people. They're all relatively high paid. They buy things in the community. That business, because they make money, their employees buy things. One of the things that would be really interesting is maybe we need to create and look at in a business way, maybe a lot of the supplies and things that they have to buy for things, maybe they buy them all outside of our community. Maybe we need to bring that inside here. Maybe that's an opportunity. So it's just, there's so the complexity of just bringing in a 50-person office has so many opportunities for so many different people. Somebody has to build it. Somebody has to clean it. So the ripple effects are just huge. And the other thing is that there's the other ancillary effect in that a healthier community is a more prosperous community. Those numbers, those are the kind of numbers that Desert Healthcare District was really interested in at first, but those are really tough to identify. And one of the reasons we like working with an academic institution like Claremont McKenna is that they're not going to make any recommendations or come up with any numbers that aren't really rigorously scientific and real. And trying to come up with numbers. And in fact, in the report, and the report's available, I think, right, for everyone to see and download.
Yes, it's on our website, dhcd.org.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because there's an appendix in the back that talks about all of the peer-reviewed journals they looked at, because people really try to figure this out. If someone's healthier, how does that affect the economy? And healthcare is just too complicated. They have not been able to figure out what the actual effects are of being healthy, but it's obvious. So even though we couldn't quantify those, still we bring in a new clinic, maybe a clinic that has different hours. One of the big challenges here is that a lot of people who need healthcare work during the day and they can't, and everything's closed at 5:00. We need places that are open on the weekends. We need places that are open at night. So we just need to be clever about how we do this. So I think there is a real need for the business community to be involved. And then the other thing, if it's okay if I keep going here.
I do want to go back and just for our listeners, share some of the numbers, the gap that the Huron Consulting Group identified. So basically we're talking about a gap of 264 physicians in primary care, in behavioral health, and also in surgery specialties. And I believe 181 in primary, 36.5 in psychiatry, and 46.3 in surgery specialists, talking about physicians. So that's really significant.
Yeah. And to just give you some numbers to make it interesting, if you need to bring in 180 primary care physicians, you will directly employ 1,000 people, right? So out of that 180, there's another 820 that have to be employed, right? The earnings for all those employees is almost $95 million. And if you actually start looking at then the indirects, so everybody that's involved in supporting that outside of the business, right? All the people who have to clean the place, or all the people that move in, these high earners want to spend money at a restaurant. All of that, not only do we directly employ 1,000 people, but we estimate that another 624 people would be employed because of those 1,000 people coming in that are relatively well paid.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's big numbers, right? And that's just for one of those categories that you were looking at. People just have to realize that this trickle down thing really, in this case, really works.
It really works.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, and you've touched on it a bit, but the report identifies two models to help fill this gap. I believe one is traditional private practice with 2 physicians and 8 staff, support staff.
Yeah, and it's a little... the one thing that I learned right away was we'll just make some numbers for one physician. And the modeling that the economic modelers use is they really look at a business. They don't look at an individual because businesses have to buy things and they have to pay rent and they have to. So all those, it's very difficult to parse those out into one individual. So they constantly made me think we had to keep thinking in terms of an office. So with help of some of the people on your board and other people who helped us out, we created these kind of fictitious office arrangements. And it really doesn't matter what the, and so there was, yes, it was the 2 doctors and 8. The only reason we did that was so that it could be blocks. Like maybe we want to bring in more than 180 physicians. And so you can multiply and divide these things in order to get numbers.
Yeah.
So that we wanted to keep it into some like 10 is a nice, easy number. So that was one way we looked at it. Because of course, not every doctor that's going to come here, it's going to be 10 people. No, of course not.
And not every doctor's going to have a private practice.
No, exactly.
So the other model is the community health clinic.
Exactly. The community health model is really interesting one and very applicable to our region because what it really is a full service model. It's like a tiny little HMO in some ways, but it's physical, right? So everything you need is in one place. And for the community here that is not used to using the healthcare system, it's confusing, it's complex. And to go to one place for your dentist to get your x-rays, to get your blood drawn, really works for some people because they just understand it, right? And they just are helped through the whole process. A lot of the community healthcare clinics have, they'll provide transportation. So it's a much more holistic model than the other ones are. So very unlikely that a psychiatrist would want to be in that or a surgery. But however, there are the community healthcare models have a lot of mental health assistance, but it's just not the psychiatric level.
I think according to the report, there would be 8 physicians in the community health clinic, and then the rest would be...
And that's a whole 50-person clinic.
Other staff,
yeah,
right?
So some of the dentists, there's more community outreach people, there's people to help people through the process, and they're more likely to have off hours. So it's a really good model for what we need here.
So much of our valley is remote, especially in the Eastern Valley rural. It seems it would make more sense to have a health clinic in those areas with several doctors, but...
Yeah, and that's why we really did this kind of plug-and-play system. Literally, it's like these little... So you've got a 50-person community health clinic. You could divide it by 2, but in that way... And really, it's interesting that the economics of them are pretty comparable.
Yes.
They're pretty close. We just came up with a number of... Like when we did the ratio between the community health clinic and the regular hospital for the general practitioners, we weighted more towards the community health clinic.
Okay.
But anybody could literally come in here, take those units and just make it up however you want to do it and come up with the numbers that you do. That's the whole reason we did it that way.
So let's talk about the numbers, because lots of important data in the report. So I encourage everyone to go onto our website and read it and print it for yourselves. But when we're talking about private practice, we're talking about a direct output of $7.5 million. And I don't know the time frame for that. Is that...
It's annual.
Annual.
Seven, yeah.
$7.5 million a year, total being $12 million. And as you said, for the community health clinic model, it's about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big numbers.
Big numbers. Yeah.
We love that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you... And you've addressed this. One model is not more feasible than others. It really depends on the area, I think, and what people do.
Yeah.
What they actually need. Okay.
And the specialist.
And the number for the gap for behavioral health or psychiatrists seemed low to me. Oh, you agree?
Yeah. And I think that's just, I think now I didn't do the Huron report, so I don't know really to what, I think that was like the best hope we could do or something, but there was a great emphasis in that report on mental health, which is a big thing. And the nice thing about the community health clinic model is there's usually at least a social worker or someone that they don't, you know, psychiatrist can prescribe.
Right.
But there's a whole group of people who could help So it's not, it's interesting that they really focus on psychiatry but I think there's a real need for that kind of intervention, but it doesn't mean there isn't a need for a lot more. I think from what I understand from just doing the research that I did, we need more actual beds for people that are really in crisis.
Yes.
I guess the way that I would see this, and I hope I'm not wrong, is that this is like the minimum right. we need. It's like, this would be, and a lot of this comes from just catching up to the kind of national standard of how many of these kind of healthcare workers you have per your population.
Right. And to remind our listeners, that number is 36.5. And maybe the timing of this as well. I feel as though we're much more aware of the behavioral health need coming out of the pandemic, right around the time that I guess the original report was done or completed. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe that wasn't a consideration, but
yeah,
it definitely feels like there's a huge need now. So I wanted to talk about, we talked about support staff and other healthcare professionals, how adding physicians adds these people as well, these jobs and these opportunities. So that's really huge for us. Talk about the broader impact of that.
I think one of the impacts of that, I would say one of the challenges is that, okay, I'll back up a little bit. One of the problems we had, we did our first findings, and because we're in this crazy big county, the numbers were suggesting that well over half of the impacts would happen outside of our community, because most of the population in Riverside County, a lot of them commute to Orange, LA, and San Bernardino for work.
Okay.
So they use that assumption as that's what it would be here.
Oh.
Which is not the case. I know just from my GIS work that people don't leave the valley much. And so Darren, the professor, had to rewrite the model to make it, after we did a lot of research and looking at what the average commute time was and how far people go for. So the idea was that half of these people aren't going to live in Yucca Valley or Beaumont. We're expecting them to live here, right?
Yes.
But that also comes with challenges. Housing is expensive. That's a community effort that can happen, right? It's expensive to become a doctor, right? So maybe we could think of some really innovative ways. Maybe the community, the business community needs to support helping pay off those loans. Maybe we need to come up with a way of low interest loans. There's so many things that are non-medical, right? About encouraging these people to live here, supporting our schools, having a place where people can feel welcome when they come and get acclimated. There's just so many things that the community could do that aren't medical specialists.
And we're specifically talking about the business community.
Yes, right? Yes, or just the community in large, okay. At large. And so one of the things, I don't know if I'm sorry if I'm not asking your question that you had directly, but one of the things that actually came up when I presented this to the board was they liked a lot of the recommendations that came out of our discussions with a lot of people. And just some of the literature that the CMC team put together, some very creative ways that people have done out of necessity to bring these health professionals in. And
Can you talk about some of those, some examples of that?
Yeah. One of the more traditional ones is to actually pay for local people to go to medical school.
Love that.
Because there's a real strong community of people who live here that want to stay.
Yes.
And one of the challenges we always had at CVEP is that people would get trained. One Future probably goes to this problem too. And other people who support college age students, they don't have anything to come back to.
They really
want to come back. So supporting a local person, especially if we could find people, because one of the big needs is Spanish speakers. And it's not just this language, it's the cultural understanding. That's also really important, because right now you'll just have this, just, I think when they do the translation, it's just through a machine and it's not really human. You know what I mean?
It's also having a knowledge of the community, the culture, the social determinants of health that we often talk about.
Exactly.
So if you grew up here, you could have a real true sense of what that is.
Exactly.
And how it affects people's health.
And you would be, I don't want to say indebted, grateful that the community supported this, you know, path for you. You'd want to come back and give back. So that's one idea. They're doing some really interesting experiments with bringing in doctors from Mexico as a on a temporary basis, but helping them find housing and stuff like that, and helping with the, you know, to get your accreditation here or whatever. After that's complicated, so going through that whole process. There's some, one of the things that's a really interesting challenge that a lot of people don't think about is a lot of people come with spouses or significant others that are highly professional because that's common for them and they don't have anything to do. So that's one of the odd things, is that we're not going to come to Coachella because there's nothing for my spouse to do when they come. So some places have done things to support that. I don't know exactly what they were, but that's a clear challenge that they wanted to face and look at. So there's just all these things you would never think about.
Right.
And at any time you can get a community that has thought these things through, it really helps, I think, the professional coming in to be like, you've got our back. This is a place that really wants us to be here.
So when it comes to attracting any professionals, but healthcare professionals especially, one thing that people often think about is, what are we actually paying them? And I know that was mentioned in the report, how we need to be really competitive. Maybe pay a doctor what they ordinarily wouldn't make in a community our size, just to be that much more appealing. Is that?
Yeah. And from what I heard, it's pretty competitive already now.
Okay.
There's no, there's definitely not a, we're not Orange County, so we won't pay that. I just think you can't do that anymore. And yeah, I think you have to have pay that's very competitive with other communities. But I think it's more, and the other thing is, it would be incredible to have a medical school out here. So we need, and it would be incredible to have a four-year university, something that we've fought for a long time.
Absolutely.
At CVAP. So because people often stay where they go to school, people really stay when they go to medical school or they have their residencies here. So that's a very, because they spend time here, and a lot of the hospitals here and some of the clinics have very interesting residency programs. We just need to continue to support those however we can, and then just keep pushing to try to get a four-year school out here. COD is doing a great job with nurses, but we just need more. Having homegrown doctors is probably the most effective thing in helping people go through school.
I agree with that. There's a lot of incredible, great information in the report. What, for you, what are the major takeaways that?
For me, it was the specific needs that are here, that the whole community. One of the fun things about doing data analysis and then also the CMC team talked about that too, is you always just learn about new industries. I didn't know very much about, it was so fun to just, your team gave us a list of people we should interview. And it was so interesting just how it works. And I thought that whole community clinic thing was really fascinating. And the whole, just the simple idea of, people can't go into during the day. They can't go on Saturday. They have three or four jobs. They have to have somebody watch their kids. I'm so privileged to not have any of those problems. It must be really hard to go to the doctor. So if you're the doctor, why don't you go to the dentist? People don't know if you have to get labs. They're not going to get on their phones and go to LabCorp. They don't know how to do that. And why should they? That was really fascinating to me, the whole kind of holistic idea of it. And just getting people to go to the doctor. Make it as easy as possible, getting them in their community. I heard some really interesting ideas, like maybe we should have little clinics in the schools. Instead of having a school nurse, have a clinic and the community could go there.
Oh, wow.
Just really out of the box ideas. And then the other thing that really I thought was interesting for anybody who's listening to this who doesn't know about it, is just how difficult it is to get people to become general practitioners, because they get paid the least. And everybody wants to be a surgeon because they've invested so much time and money. They're just going to go that extra step to be a thoracic surgeon or something. We really need to figure out how to support just GPs in this culture. Okay. Because that was the number one need that was brought up. And I didn't know about this. I thought everybody just wanted to be a doctor, but it's not true. So a lot of challenges. And a lot of challenges that shouldn't just be left to the existing healthcare infrastructure. It's beyond that. It's right. a whole community-wide effort that needs to go into it.
A lot of challenges requiring a community-wide effort, and it starts with this report. So I'm going to encourage everyone to go to our website, read the report.
Yeah, please do.
Print it. The website is dhcd.org. David, thank you so much for
being
here.
Thanks so much. It's so great to work with your team. It's just been a pleasure.
It's mutual.
Yeah.
All right. Be well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.